The scripture that she has suggested is Psalm 52, 1-9. Why do you boast, O mighty one, of mischief done against the godly? All day long you are plotting destruction. Your tongue is like a sharp razor, you worker of treachery. You love evil more than good, and lying more than speaking the truth. Selah. You love all words that devour, O deceitful tongue. But God will break you down forever. He will snatch and tear you from your tent. He will uproot you from the land of the living. Selah. The righteous will see and fear and will laugh at the evildoer, saying, see, the one who would not take refuge in God, but trusted in abundant riches and sought refuge in wealth. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the steadfast love of God forever and ever. I will thank you forever because of what you have done in the presence of the faithful. I will proclaim your name, for it is good. Blessings, Janet.
I'm really not as bad as it looks. Except that yesterday, I did go visit Mary Zare. It was a short visit, though, because she had lots of company, which is good, right? And I forgot to take my cane, so I inched along the handrails, but I should not have forgotten the cane. Anyway, I will be fine, and I am fine. And I'm happy to be here with you this morning to be sharing this reflection time with you. As I sit in the mornings, and also when I type up my sermon on the laptop, and earlier as I was studying and preparing for this, I saw a monarch butterfly fluttering around outside several times. I haven't seen it since then. And I saw another bright yellow butterfly. I love seeing especially monarchs. Somehow they give me hope. I raised a bunch of them in a cage one time until I realized I was not helping the monarch population. Anyway, they still give me hope that though they are far too scarce these days. I also watched rain fall several times this week. I love rain. And as I sit, my cat, Peace Pilgrim, his name is, Pilly. He almost always sits beside me. So I put the rocking chair beside my chair at my computer, and I put a rock under the rung so that it won't rock on him, which he doesn't like. And he sits there. So I have to credit him a little bit for my study time and for my sermon writing time, I guess. Anyway, we need flowers in order to see butterflies, and rain in order to have flowers. I also see the tall and lovely small sunflowers, which this is one of them. I think it comes from the birdseed, waving in the breeze. And the birds are always busy eating and spilling more seed out of the bird feeder. These are mostly sparrows, but then I think, God has all the sparrows numbered, so why should I complain about the sparrows? They are worthy of note. And the seed that falls to the cement porch gets eaten up by the squirrels, and ducks sometimes are stopping by. So it really feels like little goes to waste. What beauty there is all around us, even in the small things, if we notice. And even if we don't, it's still there anyway, right? So today's text is Psalm 52, which you heard read. Thank you. It's a short psalm, only 9 verses, beginning with an accusation addressed to an enemy of the godly for planning and doing evil against God's people. The term, O Mighty One, is used derisively in the sense of a big shot or a tyrant, like we might say, oh, you think you're a hot shot. and then an accusation toward God for snatching such persons and breaking them down forever, uprooting them from the land of the living because of the same. You love evil more than good, and lying more than speaking truth. Wow, I think, yikes. These first verses don't feel very inspiring, to me at least. They set a tone of suspicion and of fear and of hesitation, at least for me. And the righteous, they shall see and fear and laugh at the evildoer. Well, when one gets in the midst of a group where that kind of exchange and relationship takes over, it gets a little uncomfortable, doesn't it? And one wants to get out, unless, of course, one is on the side of the evildoer. In that case, you might sidle in a little closer with the side that you're already on. Or you might choose one side or the other if you aren't already in cahoots with them. And notice how quickly the sentiments grow in this psalm. Your tongue becomes sharp like a razor, treacherous. You love evil more than good and lying more than truth. Your tongue becomes deceitful as well, and you love words that devour. I don't really like these verses very well. This doesn't come to any good end. The description that follows seems a little merciless. God will break you down forever, will snatch you from your abode, and if that isn't enough, uproot you from the land of the living. For those of us who love peace and calm, and wanting to do good with everything rolling smoothly along, we kind of don't like these words very much. So hopefully we decide firmly to not make that choice. So what are the options? The psalmist says clearly in verse 8, "But I am like a green olive tree in the house of the Lord." There is just a period behind that sentence in my Bible, but I would like to put a couple of explanation or exclamation points. I really like olives, for one thing, green or black olives, so it isn't hard for me to want to identify with an olive tree, a green olive tree, though I really know very little about olive trees or have any experience tending or cultivating olive trees. And only during a very brief pass through Israel long ago did I ever see any olive trees. But the question is, how can I or you become like a green olive tree? But what, briefly, would that be like? I read that an olive tree doesn't bear fruit for the first 3 to 12 years, depending on the variety. Most olive trees need a pollinator tree of another cultivar in order to produce fruit at all. They thrive in the Mediterranean climates, hot, dry summers, and mild, wet winters. They need full sun exposure, some water, well-drained soil, occasional fertilization. Most are drought-tolerant, but susceptible to frost and freezing temps. Basically, they can thrive with very little care. One source that I read advised, "Just please do not overwater your olive trees. This will make them very unhappy indeed." Unhappy if you overwater. It will make them very happy if you don't overwater them. Olive trees will outlive you, possibly by 2,000 years. Many in the Mediterranean region are scientifically verified to be 2,000 years old or more. Just think, that takes us pretty much back to Jesus' time, right? They are mainly grown from cuttings, not olive pits, so don't even try, right? And they are slow growing, slow to produce fruit, and may not even bear fruit if the right conditions are not met. They need proper pruning. Almost all parts of an olive tree have significance, symbolizing wisdom, peace, power, fertility, purity. Their branches symbolize peace and abundance. Branches were once offered to the deities and powerful people as signs of purification and blessings. Olive oil has long been considered sacred and is still used today in many religious ceremonies, maybe in our food also. Are we green olive trees? Here's a present-day parable. Someone asked a rich man, "Is there anyone richer than you in the world?" The man replied, "Yes, there is a person who is richer than me." And then he told a story. "It was during the time when I wasn't rich or famous. I was at the New York airport when I saw a newspaper vendor. I wanted to buy a newspaper, but I didn't have enough change. So I returned the paper to the vendor, and I told him I didn't have the change. The vendor said, 'I'm giving you this for free.' On his insistence, I took the newspaper. Coincidentally, after 2 or 3 months, I landed at the same airport, and again, I was short of change for a newspaper. The vendor offered me the newspaper again. I refused, and I said, 'I can't take it. I didn't have change that day either.' The vendor said, 'You take it. I am sharing this from my profit. I won't be at a loss.' The rich man took the newspaper. After 19 years, he became famous, well-known. Suddenly, he remembered that vendor, and he began searching for him, and he found him after a month or so. The rich man asked the vendor, 'Do you remember once you gave me a newspaper for free?' 'Yes,' the vendor said, 'I remember. I gave you twice.' The rich man said, 'I want to repay the help you offered me that time. Tell me whatever you want in your life. I will fulfill it.' The vendor said, 'Sir, don't you think that by doing so, you won't be able to match my help?' The rich man replied, 'Why? Do you know me?' He said, 'Yes,' and he named him. The rich man asked him again, 'Do you remember once you gave me a newspaper for free?' He said, 'I had helped you when I was a poor newspaper vendor, and you are trying to help me now, when you have become one of the richest men in the world. How can your help match mine?' That day, the rich man realized that the newspaper vendor was richer than he was, because he didn't wait to become rich in order to help someone. We too need to understand that the truly rich are those who possess a rich heart rather than lots of money, who help out in simple and bigger ways without fanfare, who water someone's plants or feed someone's pets, my cat, for example, without fanfare, who bring fresh strawberries just for no reason, who simply stop by to say hi with a smile. These are the people who are perhaps truly rich. It's not the money. I'd like to read to close Psalm 1, verses 1 to 4. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or who take the path that sinners tread, or who sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by the streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. May the Lord bless you, all of us, and keep us, and make his face to shine upon all of us. Amen.